Welcome to the Marketing Society podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pigger, editor at the Society. And for today's pod, we have another episode in our series, Starter for 10, a series of 10-minute talks from clever people in our network about things of interest to marketers. For today's talk, we have the managing partner at the Caffeine Partnership, Simon Bailey, to talk about doing it on purpose, why purpose is becoming more important, and how you should go about finding it. Over to you, Simon.
Thank you. There are two types of business: those who put people first in order to make a sustainable profit, and those who don't. John Cadbury understood the difference between the two, just as Yvonne Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia, does today. Their understanding of a fair return is that business in all its forms serves a broader purpose and has a greater responsibility than simply the single-minded pursuit of high returns for a few shareholders. The idea that a business should have a broader role is not a new idea, and it ought not to be contentious, which is why we find so much of the hand-wringing around the topic of purpose so perplexing. It's often such a tedious debate, a binary discussion in which loose definitions of purpose clash with vague suspicions of anything that appears to distract from making money. Well, let's try and move the discussion on a bit. Let's start by unpacking the why. There's now enough evidence from markets all over the world to suggest that we are increasingly living in an era of conscientious consumption. Many consumers don't just care about what a business does. They also want to understand why it does it. The reasons for this are well documented: more choice, better education, increasing levels of corporate transparency, the rise of social media, and a broader concern for society and the planet. These factors are all playing their part. And to see the impact that these factors are having on business performance, take a look at the recently published biannual 2021 edition of the Havas Meaningful Brand Survey. This survey comprises 395,000 respondents from across 30 markets, and it neatly captures the advantages that accrue to those brands that consumers see as inherently concerned with putting the needs of their customers and employees ahead of profit. The 2021 survey, carried out at the height of the pandemic, shows that trust is at an all-time low, with only 47% of brands seen as trustworthy and just 34% of consumers believing that companies are transparent about their commitments and promises. But conversely, the survey also highlights that as a result of this mistrust, there are big upsides for those brands that are seen as delivering for customers. Indeed, surveys in previous years have indicated that brands that are seen as more meaningful can return as much as a 40% price premium and a times 9 share of wallet. The survey also highlights the fact that 75% of brands could disappear overnight and most people wouldn't care or would easily find a replacement. In a world where consumers are not that loyal, it pays to be in the 25% of brands that consumers really do care about. The why is also becoming an important topic of conversation in the C-suite. Indeed, the theme for Davos 2020 was the universal purpose of a company in the context of the fourth industrial revolution. And we see this interest also reflected in our own work, with purpose rising to the top of the board agenda across nearly all of the businesses that we work with. And if you've had a hard time swallowing all of that, well, consider this. The Swiss bank UBS has estimated that the total cost of the Volkswagen Dieselgate scandal, where emission defeat devices were secretly fitted to over 500,000 Volkswagen diesel cars sold across the US, at approximately $43 billion. A huge cost, both financially and reputationally. And as we've seen repeatedly over the years, the single-minded pursuit of profit to the exclusion of everything else can turn out to be extremely bad for business. So with the why growing in importance, having a clear articulation of your purpose really can help to galvanize a business, providing a clear direction of travel and a compelling answer to those customers and employees who want to understand more about why you are in business and make money. There need not be a contradiction between having a purpose and delivering for customers, and yet big myths exist and lazy practices persist. A personal favourite is the idea that the very act of crafting a new purpose without fundamentally changing the way you operate or measure success will somehow facilitate your immediate entry into a new era of corporate enlightenment. Or that because you've become purpose-led, the product quality and price of your chocolate bar no longer matters. These are, of course, crazy notions, but they are not uncommon. Ultimately, a purpose means nothing if it isn't pursued with intention, and a purpose can never be a replacement for a decent proposition. So how do you find an authentic purpose, and what should you do with it? Well, the answer lies in where you look. In our experience, the answer to your why is usually found at the intersection of what matters most to both your customers and your employees. What motivates the one to give up their hard-earned cash and the other to give up their precious time to choose you repeatedly? Well, the question, what matters most, sounds like a disarmingly simple question, but it's often difficult to answer in practice. Nissan developed an authentic purpose centered on zero fatalities and zero emissions, a credible aim because the elimination of these factors is something that Nissan can play a part in achieving, and good air quality matters equally to both customers and employees, as well as society. Lego seek to inspire and develop the builders of tomorrow, an idea that's credible, directional, and of equal importance to customers and employees. Google wishes to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful, an authentic aspiration that unites the interests of customers and employees. And what we find interesting about these businesses is that aside from articulating their ambitious purpose with admirable simplicity, they have used purpose to drive intention through every aspect of what they do. They have done it on purpose, from affordable electric vehicles to incredible building sets and applications that make life easier. Each has used its purpose to help focus and prioritize, and all of them are reinvesting for the future. It is perhaps no coincidence that these businesses continue to succeed. We've also seen purpose play out across the pandemic. Those businesses with a clear purpose seem to instinctively know how to act to support their customers and staff. Unilever contributed 100 million euros worth of soap, sanitizer, bleach, and food. They adapted their manufacturing lines to produce sanitizers for hospitals. They ran hand washing and education programs and offered vulnerable suppliers 500 million euros of cash flow relief. Burberry shifted some of its supply chain to the manufacture of PPE, and it also sold bespoke face masks, the profits of which were then given back to charitable concerns. Contrast that response with the pub chain Wetherspoons, whose CEO Tim Martin told staff at the height of the pandemic to go and find a job in Tesco and told them not to worry if they wanted their old job back later, as they would most likely be first in the queue to be rehired. I wonder how many of them finished up taking him up on that offer. So what about this relationship between purpose and ESG? Well, even those businesses that are doing it on purpose undoubtedly have more to do to mitigate their broader societal impact. And it's wrong to see a customer-led purpose as a proxy for an ESG strategy. Any decent organization should be looking to mitigate its broader societal impact. And customers will increasingly expect these commitments to strengthen and evolve over time, viewing them as the price of entry. Indeed, Amazon, who have always had an unrelenting focus on delivering for customers, have found themselves under fire across several fronts. They've had to take steps to address their working practices and how those practices are perceived. They're investing in creating sustainable energy from the rooftops of their distribution sites and having to face more squarely into the issues surrounding taxation. Indeed, as governments put greater scrutiny and increase regulatory constraints around environmental impact, social inclusion, and ethical governance, failure to address these issues will prevent a business being able to operate at all. But the ESG strategy needs to relate to and be interpreted through the way that that business operates and delivers value to customers and employees. Businesses often conflate purpose with good works, but the connection between the two is more nuanced. If every business in a chosen category decides to make a play for owning the environment, then very quickly that will cease to be a source of distinctiveness. Better to focus instead on what matters most in the context of your category, while also fulfilling your ESG obligations and commitments. HSBC seems to be making some interesting moves here. Their purpose, focused on opening up a world of opportunity, has been followed by a push to help bank the unbanked, supporting those without a fixed address to open an account and break the cycle of financial exclusion. So, why we will still want our chocolate bars to taste great, our shopping delivered on time, and our mobile devices to connect and entertain us, we also increasingly care about why you do what you do and how this impacts the way you behave and treat your staff. Let's end with the words of the radical Michael Porter. The purpose of the corporation must be redefined as creating shared value, not just profit per se. This will drive value in the next wave of innovation and productivity growth in the global economy. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Lots of wisdom in there, in that snappy talk. So I urge people to go and check out things that Caffeine do. We'll put a link in the show notes to some bits about them. But for now, Simon, thank you for coming on the Marketing Society podcast.